Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast. I'm Mary Sherman. The second and final debate of the 2020 election is in the books, with President Donald Trump's handling of the pandemic first on the list of topics.
We're rounding the turn. We're rounding the corner. It's going away.
Learning to live with it. Come on. We're dying with it.
Trump continually portrayed his Democratic challenger as a typical politician, while Joe Biden argued that Trump was an incompetent leader. On immigration, the former vice president confronted President Trump on the more than 500 children separated from their parents at the southern border.
They got separated from their parents, and it makes us a laughingstock and violates every notion of who we are as a nation.
Let me ask you a follow-up question.
Kristen, they did it. We changed the policy.
Your response
they
to that?
They did it. We changed.
We did not.
They built the cages. Who built the cages,
let's,
Joe?
Let's talk about what
who
we're
built
talking
the cages,
about. Let's
Joe.
Talk about what we're talking about. What happened? Parents were ripped, their kids were ripped from their arms and separated.
When asked about race in America, Biden said Trump is the most racist president in history.
We've always constantly been moving the needle further and further to inclusion, not exclusion. This is the first president to come along and says that's the end of that.
Trump countered that he's done more for black people than any president since Abraham Lincoln.
As far as all people, I think I have great relationships with all people. I am the least racist person in this room.
With less than 2 weeks to go until the election, Biden currently has a larger lead in national polls than Hillary Clinton did at this point in 2016. The U.S. is now reporting nearly 60,000 new COVID-19 cases each day, a roughly 70% increase since mid-September. The number of Americans hospitalized has increased by at least 40%. According to data from Johns Hopkins University, 31 states are reporting at least 10% more new COVID-19 cases this week compared to last week. And as Mike Moen reports, a leading epidemiologist in Minnesota warns the region and the nation could be in for a rough winter.
The state health department says Minnesota is averaging more than 1,000 cases each day this month. There's also concern about a recent spike in coronavirus fatalities. Michael Osterholm, who directs the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, says based on a variety of trends, the public should brace for more troubling reports.
I think we are about to enter the darkest days of the pandemic, not only here in Minnesota, but throughout the entire country. A combination of pandemic fatigue, pandemic anger, and then just the increased frequency of indoor air exposures.
He says families might still be planning holiday gatherings despite the risk of spreading the virus. Osterholm also notes some hospitals might not have enough specialized staff to treat patients in intensive care units, and he worries the production of PPE won't be enough to meet the rising demand.
This is PNS. The FDA said it's formally approved remdesivir as the first drug to treat COVID-19. The approval indicates the drug has cleared more rigorous regulatory hurdles, involving a more thorough review of clinical data and manufacturing quality since it was given emergency authorization in May. As Washington lawmakers consider how to recover from the economic effects of the pandemic, a new report from the Economic Opportunity Institute recommends changing the state tax structure to make it more progressive instead of reducing public services.
During the last recession, lawmakers opted to make cuts to health care, including mental health services, as well as child care and federal assistance programs. They also increased K-12 class sizes and hiked college tuition. John Burbank, EOI's executive director, says even before the pandemic, Washington hadn't yet returned to its pre-2008 levels of funding and services.
Even though we've had tremendous increase of wealth and income in our state, particularly at the very top, the state has failed to keep up with that in terms of the provision of services.
The report says low and moderate income households in Washington pay much more in state and local taxes than in other states, and wealthy households pay less. And the pandemic job losses have had an outsized impact on low and moderate wage workers in fields like food service, healthcare, and local government, as well as people of color. I'm Lily Bolke.
The IRS is still delivering the remaining federal stimulus payments from the initial round and coordinating with local and regional agencies to identify people who may not know they qualified in the first place. An estimated 9 million people who normally don't file taxes can still claim their check by November 21st. Coordinator of the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program at United Way of Greater Nashville, Tamara Cray, cites many reasons people don't file.
They just didn't have the income, or perhaps they're in that in-between area because of their age. They're just coming out of school and didn't work enough hours or enough to earn enough money to have a filing requirement.
It remains unclear whether Congress will pass another coronavirus relief package that includes a second round of stimulus payments. Disaster food benefits are available for Oregon residents in 8 counties affected by September's massive wildfires.
Dan Hahn is director of self-sufficiency programs at the Oregon Department of Human Services. He says the Disaster Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or DSNAP, is meant to reach people in need who typically aren't eligible for food assistance.
It's just an opportunity to take some of that anxiety that exists with all of the losses that individuals and families have had and allow them to have a little something extra to bridge that gap as they get back to normal.
Disaster SNAP will provide a month of benefits. The last day to apply is Wednesday. I'm Eric Tegedoff.
I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.